Hello, I'm Victoria Shepherd for WILL, and this is the Mid-American Gardener podcast, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. Just a reminder, if you haven't done so already, you can subscribe and listen to this and past episodes via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Today, I'm speaking with one of the amazing panelists of the Mid-American Gardener television show, who has also been a previous guest on this podcast. Many of you know that University of Illinois horticultural educator Kelly Alsop is a sucker for beneficial bugs. But since she's a woman of many interests and talents, today we're going to chat about the holidays, flowers, and decorations. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Victoria.
How are you?
I'm great.
You look wonderful, by the way.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the imminent birth of your little one.
I am very excited.
When is he due?
He is due on January 8th.
So not long.
Not long.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and doing this episode. We're on episode 23 now.
Wow.
Yeah. So look, it's that time of year where we're all getting out our lights and trees and decorations. But there are many other things that we can do to brighten up our homes, right?
Right.
What have you got for us to chat about today?
Well, I do think that it is very important for us to keep remembering nature during this time of the year, because nature is wonderful inspiration, especially when it comes to decorating for the holidays. And there was an article that just came out that said people who decorate for the holidays are just generally happier in life.
Really?
So to have all of these fresh flowers and greens around, it's really nostalgic, makes me feel good, makes me remember my childhood.
Yeah, we put up our holiday decorations yesterday, and I find I have these pine candles, and just lighting them puts you in the mood. I even started listening to carols yesterday.
Right. So I love I know a lot of people want to go for a plastic Christmas tree, holiday tree, but I love a fresh holiday tree. There's nothing like the smell, and it just looks great in the room, and it brings back all of that. But last year I actually did my Norfolk pine and decorated it. But I love pine. I love the firs and the cedars. I think they're just really beautiful.
Now, how do you ensure, what do you do to prevent the needles falling off with the Christmas trees?
Well, one thing that I do is, you know, when you buy a Christmas tree, you always make sure the people who are selling it to you go back and cut the stem one last time. And that will open up the xylem, which is the watering conducting tissue, and allow more water to be taken up.
Right.
So, and if you can't do that, if they don't have that, you know, service, which a lot of them do, then you can go through and saw it off yourself or start scraping a little bit of that bark off.
Right.
At the bottom. And then, you know, put it in a really big Christmas tree stand. And always water, water, water. So you think that in the winter, we're not going to be using as much water, but that's not true, because if we think about it, in our Illinois homes, what is it like?
Right.
It's dry, and everything is just sucking the water out. So I think diligent watering, recutting that stem is very important.
Perfect. What are some easy things that people can do to brighten up their homes? Do you have any centerpiece ideas, for example?
I love front porch pots.
Ooh.
And I think they're really easy to decorate. One of the things that I'll do is, like, if, you know, you have a large backyard and you have a few lower limbs, you can actually go and cut those off yourself and actually use them in a porch pot. Or if you have lower limbs off of a holiday tree that you've just bought, you can use that and put it in a porch pot. Another thing that I like to do is I love mixing greens. So I would never just have a pot full of fir, but I would go and mix it with some pine and some cedar. Mm-hmm. And you can buy those single stems or even those already made porch pots at, you know, your greenhouses or your local garden centers. But, excuse me, what I think makes it really high end is when you start mixing those greens. So I always start with my two largest pieces in the middle. I'll put two really tall pieces in the middle, mm-hmm. and then I'll start creating a shape. And so I want it to be kind of moundy. And I'll put my pieces of fir around, and then I'll start adding my cedar that drapes over, or my juniper. And then I'll add in my Christmas bows. And I think porch pots are really beautiful at the front yard or on the porch. And so you don't really have to water them. You can actually use the soil. But one thing that I do or I've done in major production, because before I had this job, I was in a production greenhouse, was put a little bit of sand in there mm-hmm. to help the stems stay in their spot.
Right.
Because right now, some of the soil is starting to freeze, even in your pots.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I have a question for mm-hmm. you. And I've seen some things that I thought were quite fun that people could do. But do you have any quick and easy decorations people can do include in that inside their house?
One of the things that I really think is like big, big, huge this year is I always write articles where I try to predict all the Christmas trends.
Ooh.
So one thing I think is huge is these huge wood slices. We call them in the industry, we call them tree cookies.
Oh.
But they're just, you know.
So when they cut off the bottom of that Christmas tree, yeah. ask them to keep it?
Yes. or have something that is much bigger where they're actually decorating their table with these wood slices. Mm. And so those are huge this year.
Oh.
Another thing is I love drying oranges.
How do you do that?
So you put them in a dehydrator and they come out this gorgeous orange translucent. And so like last year I put them with red beads or cinnamon sticks and I made my own ornaments mm-hmm. out of the orange slices. So it was fun to get that inspiration from nature with the orange slices. I love the cinnamon sticks too, but then I do like making things with, you know, little centerpieces with the pieces of the evergreens. But I think it's easier to do it in a porch pot. So I tend to like when I go for, you know, a centerpiece, I might go for roses. Or an old hydrangea that's brown. I know. People are like, oh, brown hydrangeas. I'm like, oh, they're so gorgeous. And I'll spray paint them gold.
Oh, well, there you go. So that's brightening it up.
Yeah.
It's not just brown.
It's not, well, I think it looks beautiful. And then I love, you know, red twig dogwoods. I love stems from the backyard. And putting stems in a vase.
You know, I saw someone had put twigs, pussy willow or something mm-hmm. similar, some twigs, branches, and they had got a pair of old leather boots or old boots or maybe Wellington boots, like we call them in England, galoshes, mm-hmm. and put a red bow around the boot and then had the twigs coming out. And I thought that was a really cute idea.
And they're always, yeah, when they're always talking about holidays, they're always saying, hey, use your own style. Use the style that you've already, you know, started with in the living room. So we all have that one vase. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That one vase that is really beautiful, but you don't have anything in it. Every now and then you'll put silk flowers in it and throw the silk flowers away when they've become too dusty. So this is a way you could bring that vase out by adding those.
That's right. We have this huge, it looks like we call it the fishbowl. I love it. But uh-huh. it basically ends up being a catch-all. We throw everything in there until we get to the point where we go, okay, we've got to move it.
Mm-hmm.
But you could put holly with red berries uh-huh. in it. Maybe some Christmas, a string of lights as well.
Now they're doing these really cool little LED Christmas lights lately mm-hmm. where you can actually kind of shape them and maybe put them underneath. a cloche, a glass cloche.
What is cloche? A cloche?
A cloche is something that in England they started doing where they covered a plant when it was too cold outside.
Right.
And it would keep the temperature down and keep that plant from dying. But we've kind of, you know, they're usually made out of glass. Back in the day, made out of glass. Now they're, you know, we do row covers out of plastic or polyfiber. But a cloche is glass. And so it's just really kind of, you'll find it in garden centers because it's still just a really beautiful piece.
Oh, and then so, you could put that on the center as well.
You put that on the center, maybe put that piece of, maybe put, you know, a wood slice, put some holly, put a pine cone, put that cloche over it, some lights.
You
there you go.
Done. Easy.
You're done.
Out of here. Now, one more that I have seen, which I love. And you love birds as well. So I realized today as I walked past my bird bath that's full of ice, you could put some of your firs, some of your cedary and your evergreens in the bird bath. Get one of those big baubles, put it in the middle, and then tie a row around the bird bath. So it acts as a decoration.
And, you know, you take me to a different one of the things that I always tell people, especially those who are environmentalists and love birds, especially in the winter, when you're done with your holiday tree, put it in your backyard.
Just lay it out, not plant it.
No. Don't plant it.
Okay.
Just lay it out, and it will be habitat for birds during the winter.
Oh, so it will keep them safe and secure.
So, I mean, there's a lot, you know, because, you know, you think about the holiday tree, you cut it down.
That's one thing about
it. What do you do with it when you're done? You put it on the front. You wait for them to come and take it. But a lot of times you can actually, you know, maybe cut the boughs up and put it over plants to keep them warm or from.
So act like some kind of mulch then.
Yeah. Another thing you can do is keep it for the birds, which is what a lot of naturalists do, is they keep it, and they'll even put, like, maybe some bird seed in it or some of the bird type of feeder options on it.
Right.
And so, and then some people even put it in a pond for the fish.
What do the fish do with it?
They use it as habitat.
Interesting.
I know.
That is cool.
So, you know, when you're thinking about your tree, I always try to release some kind of article about, you know, recycling that holiday tree. Because, I mean, I'm sure most of the cities are probably mulching it up. But how can you recycle it in your backyard?
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea.
I made an insect hotel out of mine last year.
Really?
Well, not last year. Last year was the Norfolk Island pine. But the time before, I had just a balsam fir, which I love balsam fir because it's not as pretty as noble fir. The noble fir kind of is stiffer and has a bluer tint. But the balsam fir has a much better Christmas tree smell. So we had this balsam fir and I just kept cutting the limbs off and kept piling them into these mounds and keeping them for an insect hotel so insects would have a place to overwinter.
Huh. But you wouldn't do that with your Norfolk one? Why not?
Well, the Norfolk Island pine is kind of a house plant. So you can keep that.
Oh.
So I kept that. I just took the decorations off and kept it as a house plant.
Okay.
Because I actually kept it
in the pot.
I called it my Charlie Brown Christmas tree because you always have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Now, think about this. Think about in your backyard, in the alley behind your house. There's always some little scrub evergreen tree.
Go put some decorations on it.
It would be awesome. It would make people smile. Just a few decorations. I always remember the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
So, everyone out there, you know those sad trees.
Yes.
Go and make them happy for the holidays.
All you need is a few extra ornaments, a little tinsel.
You know what? We have extra at home. We didn't put them all on this year. Talking of Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah?
We watch it. We still have a DVD player. Mm-hmm. and we have it on DVD, and we watch it every Christmas morning. It goes on replay over and over. It's Crystal's favorite movie, so we always have that on. Do you have a holiday tradition, or are you going to introduce one now?
Well, my mom loves watching It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sisters and I will, you know, reluctantly watch it with even though it's a great story. But I think what tradition I would love to pass on to my little one would be making our own ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't really feel like you have to go out and buy all the ornaments. I feel like you can get really creative with the kids.
Yes.
And it can be really beautiful.
You just need some flour and water.
Yeah. I did that too.
I have several decorations from friends' children who have used tinsel or wire, little wire with mm-hmm. tinsel on it, through a hole, and we've got stars and hearts.
So last year I did the oranges with the beads and the cinnamon sticks. Then I made little red and white bows with some more beads. And so my stepdaughter, she did all of that for us. Then we had these little tiny tree slices, mm-hmm. tree cookies, not the big ones, to where she could paint on them or color on them or did stamps. And I just thought it was just,
That's great.
The whole tree. We did not put one real ornament on it. It was all making our own ornaments.
I love that. Now, you love poinsettias, right?
I do. I don't know if I love them, but they were my lifeline for a while. You know, when you're a greenhouse grower, you learn how to grow poinsettias really fast. They're actually one of the most difficult crops for you to grow.
How come?
What makes them so hard is that they don't root out quite as fast as you want them to. So you have, you know, a slightly rooted plant in this big pot full of soil. And so in the beginning, that can be very difficult to manage because you have to make sure you have the proper watering. I mean, I used to weigh my poinsettias before I watered them. I used to do tests to see if my fertilizers were on point. And if I over-fertilized once, I'd have to run back through and go through and drench
wow.
them all out. And then the other thing is once they color up their bracts, there's not a lot you can do to change. And one little tiny imperfection in a plant that you've spent 12 weeks growing, and you will not buy it.
Oh, wow. What's the difference between red and white ones? How do you make them red or white?
It's the genetics.
Oh, okay. It's not a color thing. Color
no, red. It's the genetics. And, you know, there was this big trend where you, like, spray painted your poinsettias. I did that
really?
A lot just because it was trending and that's what my greenhouse did, but I didn't love it. You know, the poinsettias, you know, they're super picky when it comes to their watering and their fertilizing and then the finishing up. And so it takes, you know, sometimes 8 weeks, sometimes 12 weeks of where you're putting them in darkness every night for them to color up.
Oh, the darkness uh-huh. makes them color.
The short days and the long nights. If I did not do that, they would stay vegetative and they would not color up their bracts. So not only do I have to worry about the watering and the fertilizing, but then I have to worry about coloring up the bracts. So you have to pull curtains over them every night. That's why when people are like, oh, I have this poinsettia from last year, how do I get it to color up again? And I'm like, don't. Throw it away. Go buy a new plant. Support your industry.
Now, listen, poinsettias are extremely poisonous to cats.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any other plants, holiday plants, that are poisonous to animals, pets, that people may not be aware of?
You know, that really is not in my expertise. We get a lot of holiday cactus. I can't think if that would be bad or good for cats or dogs, but the U of I actually, the veterinarian website,
has a list
of plants that are poisonous to dogs
and
cats.
Okay, well, I will add that. But yes, poinsettias, extremely poisonous to cats, people, and dogs if
you
eat them.
So it's almost like poinsettias, once you've bought them in the industry, you need to make sure you cover them when you take them to your car because they cannot be in cold weather.
Really?
Or you will start to lose leaves.
Oh, I thought people could sit them outside.
Oh, no, 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 no. Almost right away. You have to cover them. So most of the time, you have a good grower. They're going to cover them for you. And when you take them to your car, then what you're going to do is when you take them inside is you're going to be up on the watering, but think about it like a flower arrangement. Meaning, you don't want to put it in sun because you want it to stay the way it is. You don't want it to grow and change.
Right.
You'd rather put it in a cooler, not so sunny location. And think about it not being near a heat vent because the heat will just suck out all that water. And then another thing that I do when I water a poinsettia in a home is I fill up my sink with water and set the poinsettia in the sink and let the soil soak up the water and then put it on a towel because I don't ever want my roots oversaturated.
Okay.
So you can, sometimes I buy my poinsettias in December and, you know, I'll go over there and I'll pick it up. And unless it's dry, I will not water it. And I might water it 3 or 4 times. Through the whole season.
Wow.
Before I throw it away. Now, I'm always throwing it away because I'm an industry supporter. Because I don't want, you know.
Got to keep the wheel turning.
Yeah, I don't want to keep a poinsettia forever. I don't think, you know, when they're not in bloom, they're not that pretty.
But I don't actually know what they look like when they're not in bloom.
They grow like shrubs in Mexico.
Okay. One other thing, holiday thing. Mistletoe. Is it big in the United States? And is it readily available? Has it been declining?
I think it's readily available. One thing that most people don't know about mistletoe is it's one of those naughty plants.
What is a naughty plant?
A naughty plant, you know, if you go into like southern United States, I noticed this a lot in Texas where my father lived, you would see mistletoe, round balls of mistletoe growing in the mesquite trees. And the mistletoe is a parasitic plant. And what it's doing is it's stealing carbs from the plant.
So really, we're doing nature a favor by cutting it down to kiss
right.
under.
But, you know, it's natural too. So there's a double-edged sword. I don't know. I mean, I felt like when I was a kid growing up in Texas, it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. But up here, not quite so much. Because I just don't think it is, this is its habitat. I think it's more southern. I think it must like the warmer weather.
Oh, interesting.
But do people like it? Yes, I think people like it. I just don't see it as much up here.
Yeah, I felt like it's dropped off over the years. Maybe we're just getting all miserable.
So have you lived in the southern United States?
No, I haven't. But I noticed in England it just seemed to, one, it used to be everywhere and it was cheap. And then over the years, it seemed to get depleted, and you had to start actually paying money, quite a bit of money for it. Since I've got older, I've just become a curmudgeon. Don't put it up.
Well, nobody wants to get stuck under the mistletoe with the wrong person, right?
I know. That's true. That's true.
I bet fine if it's the dog.
What's your favorite part of Christmas?
Definitely the family part, the excuse to be around the family and just chill. I have a 6-year-old niece. Her name is Mirabelle. And she has been my favorite part of life lately, let's be honest, because she's absolutely adorable. But I love celebrating Christmas because of her.
hanging out, doing things, drinking hot coffee, cocoa, making things. She definitely livens it up. Because I think before Mirabelle came along, our family, we were getting kind of boring. We were.
Everyone gets stuck in their rut.
I know. We were just like, we would be like, oh, we're not going to exchange gifts this year. Which, you know, I don't think it's all about the gifts. And sometimes I think the gifts overtake. And so I'm not a huge fan of the gifts. But it's awesome when it's a six-year-old. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll make sure we all have a gift for Mirabelle. We may not have a gift for each other, but always Mirabelle.
Well, Mirabelle, you're going to have a fabulous holiday season. Listen, we have literally just sucked up the time here. Thank you so much for coming in, Kelly.
Thank you for having me.
It has been wonderful to see you, as always. Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Brotz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. And of course, you can subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Please do rate with abandon. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on the TV show or podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com. Message us via Facebook or call and leave a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thanks again to Kelly Alsup. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz, specifically Chuck Voigt, where we get to plan for next year's veggie garden. Until then, finish up your fall cleanup and rest. Thank you.